Hey, welcome to the Remnant. My name's Todd, pastor here, one of them. If this is your first time, your first time in a while, this is it. This is the last one on church. I didn't expect that to be the case, but that's what we're doing. So we've been in a series talking about church in general, not necessarily all the nuts and bolts, which I thought that was what it was going to be, but try to be faithful to where I think the Spirit was leading. I'm trying to think of how to best start this. I think we'll start with some scripture here. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1. And we're going to start right at verse 1. Now, Acts is really the beginning of the church. It's really starting and telling the story of what happened when Jesus left. So right before this, we can assume that Jesus was raised from the tomb. And he comes back. We kind of forget this. He spent 40 days with his apostles. That's where all the 500 people saw. He taught them after, and he showed up to them. So it's kind of cool because we have proof of that. And that's where we're going to start right here. So Acts chapter 1, do we got that? Oh, yeah. that's okay. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus, that's who he's writing to, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which, he said, you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So when they had come together, that's important. Is it hard to focus without the verses up there? So you got to bring your Bibles. Got you lazy, right? So they had come together. They asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? Man, they still don't fully get it. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's important for a couple things before I move on. So Jesus is talking to them, right? After he's risen from the dead. Think about that. Isn't that wild? And he says to them, he teaches them about the kingdom, and then he says, hey, don't leave town yet. Don't go and do what I've given you to do yet. Don't go to the job I've given you, which is, remember, in Matthew, we know he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Don't do it yet, because I promised you something that's coming to help you. I promised you a helper, a power, and it's going to come soon. Then they go, oh, so this power, are you going to restore, while we're out doing that, are you going to bring back the kingdom to Israel? Right there, if you didn't know, Israel at this time is overtaken by the Roman Empire, and they thought that the Messiah was going to elevate them politically, make them a powerhouse again. And he said to them, listen, don't worry about things that aren't up to you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. Now, this is important. He attaches the why we're given power right here, why you're given power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You were empowered by the Holy Spirit for a purpose. Now the Bible tells us, if you go read the Gospel of John, it's also a counselor to us, right? Encourages us, speaks to us. That's real. Gives us hope, peace. But it's to empower us for a purpose, which is to tell people, my witnesses, tell people about me. Go to chapter 2. We're going to go with Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. This is not a teaching, some of you all in the room, this is important, on the gift of tongues that you think it is. Though I think there's a hint in here for some of you who may be a little confused at what tongues is. Okay? When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. So after that, they all came together, a bunch of the believers. Remember, it's not just the apostles, he talked to them, but the disciples, the believers. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and amazed. Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that they, each of us can hear them in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who lived in Mesopotamia, in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, thank you. You hear that? I'm trying to read these weird names. Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues. They were astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But some sneered and said they were drunk on wine. I want to explain this to you. So the disciples come together, the Holy Spirit comes down on them for the first time ever and resides in people. Now here's something I'm going to give you a clue at. Are you a Christian in the room? Don't raise your hand. That's okay. Because some of you aren't, and that's okay. We'll talk. Well, it's not okay. We'll talk about it. But those of you are, you know what's cool? That already happened to you. See, we seek this supernatural moment. We want to see it like they see it. We want to see fire. Do you? Some of you all would pass out and die if you saw that. Right? But the bottom line is that's already happened to you. The Holy Spirit is sealed in you. Scripture tells us that. You have it already. You have it. The Holy Spirit is on you now. This was the first time in human history. The Holy Spirit came on people for a time, but it never stayed on people, right? Because they weren't clean, holy. And that's why I can go into all that. But this time it comes down, something that each of you take for granted happened, and it poured on them, and then crazy stuff started happening. They started praising God. That's all they did. They started worshiping, saying, "Jesus is real. What has he done for me? I'm going to tell you where he found me." And all of a sudden, some guy from Libya walks by, and he hears a bunch of Jews. They don't speak the same language. Remember what we talked about? This empire is all spread out. But he was understanding the Jews' testimony in his own language. Let that sink in. So that would be like me talking right now, and there's a Chinese guy in the room who understands what I'm saying, but you hear it as English. Now, let me stop. There's like half and half in the room. Half of y'all go, that's a nice story, Todd, but that didn't really happen. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. It happened. It still happens. Well, I haven't seen it. Oh, okay, so if you haven't seen it in America, it doesn't exist. You're silly. You seen the Great Wall of China? It's not in America. It exists. Okay? Things happen outside the country. Wake up a little bit, all right? And so then people around, that began to become a testimony because these people who are hearing about Jesus go, that alone was the proof of something going on, and they're going, what is happening? You see, sometimes we want God to interact with us the way he did at the very beginning of a church. But that would be like telling a house, I want to tear everything down and start with the foundation. You understand what I'm saying? This was the foundation, so we had a very specific point. If I were construction guys, if we have a foundation, does it look different than the roof? Does it look different than the ceiling? It's because it's a different purpose. Stop trying to go back in time when they would be saying, boy, I just want to get to where you're at. A time when I can worship the Lord freely without fear that somebody's going to kill me, because that happened. I just want to explain that. And then so wild stuff was happening. By the way, you're probably like, well, they're drunk on new wine. You think that wasn't because they were talking in gibberish. It was because they're saying those people are so joyful and out of control worshiping the Lord that some people were like, oh my goodness, I want to be a part of this. This sounds familiar. And some of them were going, them's a bunch of crazy people. Drop down to verse 42. Chapter 2, verse 42. If you're on your phone, it'd be 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship. Let's call that community. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. And every day they devoted, every day. Oh boy, I wonder how many members are missing today. Every day. They devoted themselves. There's that word again, devoted. Who's constantly on their phone? Stutzman. Why don't you look up the word devoted for me? All right. While he's doing that, I'm going to read. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. That's interesting. They met in the temple. Broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. Spaghetti again? Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. How interesting that we have it kind of backwards. And I'm not even going to ask you. You think if you do all that, that's going to make you look weird instead of thinking it might bring you favor. It might make people actually hear you. Because when they see what your devotion, is this real to you? Because if it's not, why should I take it serious? And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Every day. Every day. Imagine a church going every day. What's the definition, Stutzy?
To give all or a large part of one's time or resources.
To give all or a large part. There it is, weakening again, in case you can't give all. A large part of one's time, what? And resources. It's not, you know what's my favorite thing? Some of you all in the room think you don't have to give an offering to God of your money because you serve. I heard a guy tell me that this week. He was honest. He said, well, I don't have to give you money because I give you my time. Is that devotion? And some people are the other way, right? It's whatever we have the most of is what we're willing to give. So, right, people are willing to give time when they got no money, right, in their own mind. We all do. We live in America. Did you have a Starbucks this morning? Right? And I ain't shaming you. I'm just being honest, right? And then the people, right, with money are like, well, I ain't giving you my time. I'll just chuck cash at you. I like that devotion. That worked out well. I didn't even look that ahead of time. Resources, time, right? Devoted. Who here, who would like to be in a church like that? Raise your hand. Diane, I'm looking right at you. Don't you tell me you don't want to be in a church like that. I've talked to you. Raise your hand if you would like to be in a church like that. You chumps. Thank you. By the way, you can't even raise your hands when I ask you to. I know you do. You know how I know? Because you're very critical of the churches that don't give you what you want. So that means you have a definition of what you want in your head. You want to see signs and wonders? Raise your hand if you want to see signs and wonders. Be honest. You want to see miracles in your life. Raise your hand if you want to see, you want to feel alive. You know what I mean, don't you? Oh, look at the hands in that one. Praise God. Thank you for being honest. That's so funny. That's so funny because that's something we all have in common. Sometimes we look around and say, is this it? Right? And you put your faith in Christ, and at first you were excited, weren't you? It was good, and it felt new and alive. And after a while, that newness is kind of like when you get a new toy or a new book, and it smells good. And then after a couple weeks, it smells like you, and you're like, eh, right? Right? No one but me? Okay. Right. My toys are my... And then it fades, and you say, what happened? What did... And then it's funny. In that soil, Jesus talks about this. Some people walk away. They were never saved. And the rest of us just sit in a gray nothingness and say, this is church. And so what we do is the saints begin to turn to other things because God didn't keep his promise. Where's the life abundantly? Where is it? Where was God when I needed him? Why hasn't he come through? So I'll turn to the bottle or the body or the money, the status. Church let me down. So God let me down. Raise your hand. hand raising day. Who was all excited? Well, first let me start. Who heard about, I don't know if it was last year, I can't remember, but the revival at Asbury College? Yeah, raise your hand. If you didn't know, what happened was at a Christian college. Sorry, I went to one. And yeah, it is what it is. There was revival there. Even the mainstream news covered it. Right? Revival. Who wants revival? Raise your hand. Give me old. There we go. Now we get. Diane was up for the revival. I like that. I'm not picking on you. Remember, if I say your name, I love you. Right? Because I trust our love enough to know you're not going to be mad at me tomorrow. Right? I was going to pick on Ben, but no, that's just kidding. No. See? There's my point. Listen. Of course. What is revival? Who wants to tell me? Those of you who raised your hand. Those of you that raise your hand, I'm not going to call your name. And if you don't say anything, I promise I'm not going to trick and go, tell me. But if you feel like it, those of you said, I want revival, tell me what that is to you. To keep your what? Your fight? I like that. Okay. What else? Anyone else? Yeah. To add new life. Yeah. What's that mean to you? To who? That's to you? That's so good. Thank you. No, I wasn't a trick question, right? That's good. To me, right? My fight, that's kind of the same thing, isn't it? You want it to feel like it felt, right? To know he's still there. To see him move in your life. That it stops just being words on a page. Me too. Is it? Yeah, 2024, thanks. I used to work, well, for those that are new, it's important for you to know this. The rest of people are here, he goes again, but it's important for you to know. This part's important. I'll make it fast. I was not raised in the church at all, okay? At the risk of offending my family, okay? I would say they're not hostile, some of them. Some of them is not hostile to the gospel, but they're certainly not believers, okay? I was raised very morally. I'm very, very thankful for my family, right? I have so much to be thankful for. Good people, taught me a lot. But I wasn't raised in the church. And I don't... It's a weird day. God grabbed me. Right? There is no other way to say it. There is no other way to explain it. Except God grabbed me. I remember what it is to not know him. I didn't like church people. Some of you say I still don't, which I'm one of them, so hey, I get it. But I wasn't raised in the church, and my buddy up here, that Stutzman guy just told you, he invited me to a little play. We were in high school. At that time, I was on my up and up, right? I was pretty popular. Stutzman will tell you I used to be liked. Go ask him. And what? Yeah. Well, come on. But he brought me because I was a pretty good guy still. And he thought our really bad friend would come, which he did. And maybe he would come to know Jesus because he thought, you can talk to him after, that I was already saved. Because I love people. You know, it's funny. God, like all of you, even the people in the room that don't know God, do you know parts of you can't help but reflect him? Right? It's just not perfected. It's not cleaned up. It's not ready. You know, it's like a sword. It's not sharpened. Anyway, I got saved, came to know him, went through life, read the New Testament, was excited. I saw it in my own life. I told him, he can tell you, first thing I said, he said, how you feel? I said, I feel lighter. 12 years ago, anyway, I worked for a teen center. I went to a Christian college, which that's a crazy story. Someday, the elders will let me tell my testimony. I'm just kidding. I want to blame them for not. I'll tell you my whole testimony, and it'll make more sense because it's you're only hearing parts. But I ended up at a Christian college that I did not want to go to. And a lot of stuff happened. I was in seminary for a year trying to figure things out, and I certainly didn't want to be a pastor. I wanted to be, you know, a football coach and a teacher or an attorney. But I worked at a teen center because it's the only job I could get after college. And this teen center worked with what they called at-risk youth. You know what that means, right? We're all at risk, man. But it means people that are in situations that are hard. You know? I like what Hannah said. We miss our blessings sometimes, man. Even that. I've met kids, man, who you don't have a clue. But I got to love on kids and tell them about Jesus and learn. And I started hobnobbing with, you know that word, hobnobbing? No, we got to read a book. Anyway, I started hobnobbing with Christian leaders. Small world, right? My buddy Andy back there, we have a lot of stories about that. I just wanted people to know Jesus. And there's a lot of hopelessness in the place I worked. Because, and you know, they used to write down that their church was the place I worked. We weren't a church. They would write that down as their church. So anyway, we met. And I don't know if you remember this day, Andy, but I do. We were at a... it's all part of it. I'm trying to speed up. I got to go fast, Todd. This is not the point. We're at a network, I won't say the name, okay, with a bunch of pastors, of youth people. And they're people that love God, I'm sure. And I, you know, I was there, whatever. And I said, hey, we got this pond with these people that really need hope. Right? Not just their kids, but their families, because I would get to know their families a lot. They'd come to me and ask me stuff, and I'm 20-some years old. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I'm supposed to tell you how to, like, help. And I remember they got mad at me. Do you remember this? And they got an attitude, man. They said, why don't you come here? You guys come here. There's so many people here, and take them to your church. Like, we're not a church. We're not equipped for that. And they said, why don't you take them to your church? That's what they said to me. I didn't live in town at the time, and I said, so you're telling me, because they, one thing you gotta know about church folk too, they're real jealous of who's getting the people. So I'm going, I was offering you people. Like, I'm not, because all it would have taken was them come and say, and they did sometimes, not all of them, some of them did, but a few of them said, why don't you do it? And I said, I said this out loud. I go, so you're telling me if I had a church here, and I took all these people here, you're saying that's great, that's good. Because remember, they don't like, I had to be careful working with them all because they didn't want one to get kind of an advantage over the other. He said, yeah. I said, okay. Then they said, we'll pray about it. We'll pray about whether we should do that. And I said, what are we praying about? And this made him mad too. Why are we going to pray about what God already told us to do? I wasn't even mean it snotty, just that's what I'm saying. Why are we going to pray about it? And they're like, this is when I started to learn church people get annoyed real easy. Us. Anyway, I'm real hesitant with this part of my story because the world's crazy. And people say they hear from God a lot. And crazy people say they hear from God. Cult leaders say that, right? And we don't need visions and dreams because we have the Word of God. That's awesome, right? So I'll put it this way. I felt like I got a picture one time of the world, right? I wasn't looking for it. And it's a field with mountains behind it, and it was really kind of cool, except for the storm came. And on the field, there's bodies littered. Now, some of the bodies out there on the field got armor on. This is probably my mind. I'm crazy, right? I like knights and stuff. and some of them don't. What they have in common is some were dead and some were dying. And you're like, I get it, God. We're supposed to, you know, tell people about you. Right? And this picture I got, I said, look behind you. 20 feet from this field is a party. And there's marble, and it's like fancy rich people floor. You know what I'm talking about. And pillars and light was everywhere. And all the people were dressed in armor. And they had their swords laying against the table, and they're drinking and having a good time. And if they would have just looked 20 feet out, they'd forgotten why they had armor. It just became about the party. And some people in the field are, they had armor too, right? They can't do it by themselves. Ignore it. It's just a picture. Don't get too creeped out. When we started this church, I did not mean to start a church. I don't know, man. I tried all kinds of weird hippie stuff. Like, you know, we started this church because I wanted people to know Jesus. I wanted the people who didn't feel good enough to go to the party to be able to hear about Jesus. I knew something was wrong, right? Something's wrong with the way we do church a lot of times. It doesn't mean they're not God's people, and it doesn't mean it's not God's church. Okay? So hear me on that. But the what we've accepted culturally, something's wrong with it. And it just started, and I'm a terrible guy, okay? This isn't pity. I'm not saying this to be false humble. I'm not. My heart, I've made so many mistakes, and I'm going to make more tomorrow, and I'm not being like, oh, you know, I tripped over, you know, I've done sinful things. And a title of pastor doesn't make me any less sinful. It makes me a lot more serious. It doesn't make me less sinful. So I say that to tell you, like, I've made a ton of mistakes. But what I've learned over the years is God's not necessarily looking to work with people who are perfect. He's looking to work with people that will walk and will follow him. Amen. Here's the problem. We kind of play like Simon Says with God. Right? I'll walk when he says Simon Says, but Simon Says is what makes me comfortable. I'll go to church when I feel like it. I'll give when I feel like it. I'll love when I feel like it. But if I don't want to go, I'm not. Simon says, stop. You got to say the right things to make us follow. You want revival. I'm scared to death of just being another church. Because no church starts out just wanting to be another church. So how's it happen? It doesn't mean they're bad. Hear me. Because they're still God's people, right? And the thing with this little picture I had is the people who were partying had the right to party. But they're made for more. I'm going to read a bunch of verses to you real fast about church, and then I'll finish up, and I want to tell you something. Well, I guess I should finish that part. Listen. Do you want revival in your life? You want revival in your communities? You want revival? Man, I'll see you post on Facebook. Put God back in the schools. Have you put God back in your house? Which God is it? The God that makes you comfortable? Where does he sit? Below your family? It's not yours anyway. That is a gift he gave to you. And some of you are so paranoid. You are so paranoid that he is going to take that away that you elevate it above him. Family. And then you wonder, I'll come back to it. So you see, we see here the church comes together. They devoted themselves. They saw, they heard about Jesus. They heard the testimony. People saw God's people living together, and people started to come. So not everyone comes. Did you know that? Not everyone's going to come. Jesus makes this analogy, even he says, don't throw your pearls before swine. Stop wasting your time on people that don't want to hear. I do that sometimes because I'm afraid there's a Todd out there that's just being stubborn, right? Instead of realizing, well, I actually did listen. What I would say is that I'll give you a preview. A hindrance to revival in your life, to the blessing that you want to see, to the life, to the change, to this being more than words on a page in a Sunday clubhouse, is we're not willing to do Acts Church things, to see Acts Church things. That goes for you. Yeah, the one in the room that thinks I'm not talking to you, it's you. 1 Peter 2:5, listen to this. It won't be on there, my bad. I had everyone sit today, this is important. 1 Peter 2:5, you yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I've referenced this verse. What's that mean? You are like living stones that when you roll together, I see like little rocks rolling together, like a cartoon. You build a house. You get it, Dave? Little rocks rolling together? Yeah. I only got a few more times, man, to say your name, so I'm going to get it in. Rocks roll together to make the temple. Why is the church here? Because you're being built through that gathering into a holy priesthood. Why? So that you can offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What's a spiritual sacrifice? Doing what he wants you to do over what you want to do. He doesn't always... Here's a clue whether you're following the God of the Bible. Does he always agree with you? Because if he does, that's not the God of the Bible. Does he always ask you to do things that just make you comfortable? And he always agrees with you when you're mad at the church or the pastor or the preaching or the teaching. He always is, he's with you, right? Because he tells you, you ready for how creepy this is? That voice in your head says, is he really speaking the word of God? You think that's Jesus? If I quote a scripture and you question that and you hear a voice tell you, is that really what it means? You think that's God? That voice right now that's making you mad because you think I'm calling you out, it ain't me you're mad at. Who are you really mad at? No, you're mad at God. You can say you're not. Okay, keep moving. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then, the spiritual house, right? You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints. Guess who? You are the same as Peter, Paul. You're a saint. Did that mess with you? Right? Saint Bailey? Probably is one. But, right? Saint Diane, you like that? Huh? David, I got a smile. Yeah, see, I'm going to say it. There already is one, right? But Saint David, right? Dave? But fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is being put together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. There he is again, reminding us. In him, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. There was a time with the Jews in the temple, God's Spirit was only there. Did you know that? That's the Holy of Holies. Oh, man, I'm off. Sorry, you're good, man. All right, I got to stay up here. That's where the Spirit of God was. That's why they had to be purified and sanctified to be able to go behind the curtain, and only one person can do that once a year. And we take that for granted. And you don't want to go to the temple. Something that someone would have died to go into the presence of God once a year. You said, you know what? Na 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 na. That's NFL. It's Sunday. Right? It's family day. But fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, it is family day. When we're together, God's Spirit is here. This is the Holy of Holies. Right? Because you're all dwelling places of it. I got to hurry. People getting sleepy. Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of God dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. You do that? You show up with gratitude in your heart? Or is it just another day you got to go do what you got to do today? Church is just that thing you got to do. Got to get through it because we got family time. Got to get through it because I got to get to work. Got to get through it because I got to get to football. Got to get through it because I got goals. I got to build that business. Check. So, what does it say in Colossians? You're supposed to let the Word of God dwell richly among you. How would it dwell richly among you? Well, the soil's got to be pretty good, right? All wisdom, you're teaching and admonishing one another. That means calling out sometimes. Encouraging, pushing towards greatness, pushing towards being better through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You mean we got to sing and worship? That's stupid. There's only three songs. It's the same every time, man. Three songs, preaching, another. I hear that all the time. Laughy, 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 right? Except here's the problem. Who cares if it's 3, 10, or 4? Why can't you be here and be present and worship the God of gods, right? The King of kings. God of gods, little g. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. You do that during worship? Or is it just, man, my God, it's cold in here. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another. Oof. Let us consider one another. Robin, I got to consider you. Can you consider me? All right? I don't probably consider you sometimes. You probably don't consider me sometimes. But we should. Why? In order to provoke love and good works. That means, how can I help you best? How can I love you best? Not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing. We don't have to go to church. What's that say? Not neglecting to gather together. You think that's a Sunday brunch, right? That the camp, right? Old Todd, this would have punched him in the face because he said that all the time. Church is wherever I have it. It is, but come on, man. Come on, Todd. Come on, young Todd. Not neglecting to gather together as some in their habit of doing, but encouraging each other. Encouraging each other what? What do you think that is, Jill? Well, partially it is go to church. Where are you at? I haven't seen you. Can you imagine going 3 weeks in Acts Church without seeing each other when they're used to seeing each other every day? But if I call you after a week, you're going, that guy's bothering me. He's bugging me. That happens. You want to know why I don't even remember, our connection team doesn't call you anymore? Because you guys get mad at them. How dare they call you and say, how you doing? Where you been? What an annoyance. But encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Yeah. The day what? When he comes back. I have people coming up to me all the time going, man, you think it's the end times? I'm cool with these conversations. I mean, I'm reading this and I'm reading that. And it sounds like it could be here. It could be. And guess what? We're in the last days, regardless if it's today or 100 years from now, right? We're in the last days. So let me ask you a question. Instead of sitting around wondering things that you're never going to figure out because he said you're not. He said, look for the signs, but you're not going to know the day. What if you said, focused on this, as you see that day coming, it drew you and pushed you to what? Consider one another more, to provoke each other to love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some in the habit of doing. Which one are you, by the way? Are you in the habit of coming or not? And all the more as you, what if it encouraged you to gather together more as you saw that day coming, because the world's scary and they're hostile to Jesus, which means they're going to be hostile to you, some of you. See, it's only going to be in the pressure we find out who the diamonds are. Which are you? Which am I? Do you come together to get, or do you come together to give? Man, every day of the week, I get to hear people come to me and say, what can I give the church this week? I'm excited. I'm being sarcastic. You know what I do hear a lot more of? And that's okay. You can come and talk to me about this, but what did I do wrong? What did the connection guy do wrong? So-and-so did this wrong. Why are you telling me to do this? I've already done that. Huh, weird. I didn't even have this planned. You ready? I got a big chunk, and then I'm going to get you out of here. Maybe. James chapter 4. You want revival? Raise it. Show me again. Who wants it? Who wants life? Who wants it? Do you? Do you? Let's see. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. What is the source of wars and fights among you? You think he's talking to the world here, Jacob? He's not, right? Newsflash, he don't write letters to the world. We're talking to the saints. What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. By the way, some of you go, I didn't kill anyone. What did Jesus say? If you hate your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart. You would hurt him or her if you could get away with it. You desire and you not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? You cannot be, listen to me, teens. And I wish somebody told me this, because I get how hard it is for you. It's the same battle. It's just adults are better at faking it. You aren't always going to be able to be popular with everyone at school and follow Jesus. That doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It doesn't mean because they don't like you or think you're weird or giggle at you that you're wrong. Adults at work, I don't need to make... They're having a tough time, man. Don't forget the teens. It was hard in my day. You imagine trying to follow Jesus now? At school? Don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? You cannot be friends with the world. Friends with them. You can be friendly with them, but you can't be friends with them. Right? And be good with God. Because they're on different... Remember the circle I drew a couple weeks ago? They're in a different world, man. So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. Ooh. Or do you think it's without reason that the scripture says the spirit he made to dwell in us envies intensely? Meaning, ready? Before you all go, envy's bad, jealousy. Really? Well, let me take your husband and I'll go throw him in a room full of naked women. You cool with that? The answer is no. I already know y'all. You're crazy. Right? Guys, the same thing. Guys, it's even different. I can't even talk to some of you. Right? Some of you ladies that maybe you're like, why does he never talk to me? Maybe it's because your husband is a lunatic and wants to fist fight me if I come over and speak to you. Okay? Right? That's because he's jealous for you. He loves you. Right? I'm not condoning weirdo, creepy behavior where locks people in a room. That's not what I'm saying. All right? My point is, God is jealous and envious of. He is not going to share us with the world. You're the fine china, right? You won't even let me eat off it. You ain't going to share it with me. I know. She told me that a couple weeks ago. At least she's honest. Or do you think it's without reason that the scripture says the spirit he made to dwell in us envies intensely? But he gives greater grace. Man, there's a hope. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Listen to me. Therefore, submit to God. Submit to God. I'll chill with him when I feel like it. I like that word because guess what submission is? I don't like it. If you come over to me and say, Todd, submit to my authority now, I'm going to be like, right? Submission, God knows what he's doing. He's saying the word because he knows it makes you uncomfortable. You're going to have to follow me in ways you don't want to. You're going to have to trust me in ways that don't make sense. And you're going to have to listen to me when everything inside of you wants to do something different. That's the mark of a disciple. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. Listen, revival. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. One time, just when you're saved? No. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Ooh. Double-minded. Greg, that's a powerful word. What's double-minded mean? I'm going to say it right now. You ready for the Holy Spirit? Those believers in the room, I'm going to prove the Holy Spirit's power in your life. You already know, don't you? You're double-minded. Trying to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Right? Well, good news for you. You can go on Instagram and find Christian business coaches, and they'll teach you the principles. I can slap Christian on anything I want. Double-minded. I'm with Jesus on Sunday, but on Monday I'll see you next week. I believe in God, but I don't believe in church. I believe in God, but I don't feel like I have to give. I believe in God, but I don't have to serve. I believe in God, but God always agrees with me. It's like a head trying to turn too many different directions. Here's the thing about Jesus. It's both hard and beautiful. He always comes for the thing you think you can't give up. It doesn't mean he's going to take it. He might. But he will have no other gods before him. Purify your hearts. You don't be miserable and mourn and weep. That's why when people say to me, I said I'm sorry, they think that's the same as repentance. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, it does make you feel kind of crappy for a minute, but not for the goal of keeping you down, but for the goal of turning you around. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. But if you try to lift yourself up, I'll be successful my way. I'll do it my way. I'll find that girl my way because it hasn't worked doing it your way, God. I've waited 3 years. I'm 22 and I got no wife, so I'm going to go over here to this. Man, come on. I asked 3 girls out and they said no, so I'm going to go over to these other girls who always say yes. That's chump stuff. That's not saint talk. Don't criticize one another, brothers and sisters. Anyone who defames or judges a fellow believer defames and judges the law. Defames. Boy, there's a lot. It's popular to defame Christians right now. I said this before, discernment ministries. You go online, right? And I know some of you follow them, and they tell you which pastors are preaching truth and which ones aren't, and which ones are heretics and which ones aren't, and that isn't godly to me. I know that upsets you. Show me where it says that. The church, right? If I start saying crazy stuff, somebody in this room ought to go, hey, man, you're off, right? But instead, you're going to listen to some hobo that lives in California who takes a soundbite and says that pastor doesn't preach truth. Instead of looking at the Word of God yourself and determining what's true. You want the easy way. Why read the Bible when somebody can tell me what it says? And judges the law. Little L here. If you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. No? You ever met people like that? Man, they are so good at telling you how to be a Christian, but funny thing is, they sure don't look like one. What are you? What am I? There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and destroy. Where do you judge your neighbor? This isn't judgment of sin like we talked about. Because here, remember, we got to filter Scripture through all the Bible. But the kind of judging that says you don't belong here. Matthew 6:33. I know I'm jumping around. I'll come with you. This is Jesus. It's in the same context. He talks about worry. Talks about the birds and the lilies. You know, right? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. The problem is, and this is what we have to face as individuals before we turn to this church, and I'll explain why it matters, is that's not true. You seek first these things and expect the kingdom of God and his righteousness to come with it. A man who tries to be a good, godly husband on his own, right, will fail many times. And right, he sometimes might be a good husband. Right? He sometimes might. But a man who follows the Lord with all his heart will always be a good husband. A woman who wants to be a good wife, reads all the books, does all the right things, she'll sometimes get it right. But a woman who follows the Lord with all of her heart, soul, and mind will always be a good wife, even if her husband's not a good husband. On and on. It's not just marriage. The church, you want revival in your churches? You raised your hand, you said, yeah, you want to feel life? You want to come to church and feel it move? You want to be in an alive church doing alive things? The church is made up of the saints. Bricks build a house like saints build a church. The health of the saints dictates the health of the church. The building can't make the bricks healthy. The bricks make the building healthy and secure and stable. Stop looking for the organization, right, to make the church better. Capital C. You have to do it by being who God's called you to be. The world is getting crazy. But it's been through crazy times before. World War II, the Acts Church, there were crazy things happening to them. Okay? It wasn't easy. You hear me, James? I just said your name. I like you, man. All right? But do you hear me? It wasn't easy. It was never easy to follow Jesus. Not really. My point is to say, stop worrying about how hard the times are. We as a church, as Christians, every one of us in this room have to come to God. We have to turn our backs on the way the world says to do it, turn the backs on the way the books say to do it, turn our backs on the way our mommies and daddies said, or the rituals or traditions or the denominations or all those things, and we have to turn to Jesus. And in order to come to Jesus, we have to purify ourselves, right? We're already purified by him, but we have to let go of the things that are taking up our time. What's stopping you from being the saint that you know he's called you to be? What is your obsession? What is your focus on every day? Is it God? Is it trying to be like God? Is it trying, or like Jesus? Is it trying to live it out? Or have you come up with excuses why that's not okay? Right? I don't want to do that because then X, Y, Z. What are you holding on to? You're not going to have revival if you can't worship. You're not going to have revival if you can't come to church. You're not going to have revival if you can't give to God what God already owns. You can't have revival without submission to God. God does not submit to us. We submit to Him. And what did He say? If you're humble, He will exalt you. Draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. We don't look at Him like a dog and go, come here, boy. Here's the thing about today. This is talking to you. You. We spend so much time in church arguing, even here, and we're blessed. You guys are amazing people. I mean that. You're special people. But I still wonder how much time we waste being bitter and mad, irritable and tired, frustrated, and looking for a reason to justify your fear. See, some of you in this room have been so hurt by people that you wait until I hurt you so you can say, I knew it. He was a bad guy. What's the sin that you're hiding? This isn't about shaming you. What is the thing, right, that's getting in the way? And I like what she said, and I like of your fight, right, of that energy to get up in the morning and to move and walk. Maybe you're holding on to something that's holding you down. But it's scary to let it go, isn't it? Because it's all you got. That's what the lie is. Some of you in this room, and I don't talk about this enough, the bottle is the place you turn when things are stressful. When it's hard. I know for a fact there's alcoholics in this congregation. I'm not shaming you. But I'm saying, I know that it's hard, and I know you've turned to it, and I know it's been there when no one else was, but it's the anchor that's holding you down. It's the thing stopping you from being exalted because you won't submit to God. You won't say, Lord, it's hard to let go of this and come to you because this is so appealing, and it always answers, and it always makes me forget. But that's all it does. It's a temporary forgetfulness. But when you wake up in the next morning, all the things that it hid from you are still there. When Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and brokenhearted and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. That's not philosophy. We have to stop thinking that if we just do the bare minimum, that God will draw near to us. We're always saved, right? We're always, remember we talked about that last week, He's going to hold on to us, but married people that want to be married, whether you're kids, best friends, are you going to be as close if you never spend time with each other? Are you going to be a good friend if you're in the room together, but you're always on your phone? Eventually you grow apart. Do you want more than what we're settling for? What's the secret sins? Man, this isn't to shame you. The things, to me, sins are just weights. What are you piling on yourself? When are you going to be able to look in the mirror and say, I'm not committing to a church. I don't give. I give the money to the meal ministry, but not to the church because I like to control where it goes. Because they feed me. You guys are all good, right? Until, you know why I never talk about money, even though I should? Because of the faces y'all making right now. Why does God say that, man? He knows the way to our heart. I'm not the one who's making money so important. You are. Because all I've ever said is, hey, you know, I can give it over and over. It, when it has a hold on you, there's a problem. I want the whole worship team to come up here. And I want you guys to play the last song that you played. Come up now. I just didn't want you to freak out and sprint, right, and fall. That's what I was worried about. When I look at the Bible, I think we settle. We settle for what's normal. We settle for what's regular. We settle for a good message with some good worship, with a place that's not freezing cold. But when we do that, we might have a good day, right? But we don't have revival. Revival starts with you. You see, because if everyone in this room turns from their sin, whatever the Lord, or turns themselves fully to God, believes this in faith, and asks Him, remember what it said, you don't have because you don't ask. And those of you that do ask, you don't have because you ask because you just want it for yourself. Do we want the presence of God? Do we want life? Do we want to feel renewed? Do you? Yes. Have you asked Him? Have you held out your hands? But in order to hold out your hands, you got to let go of something, maybe. Are you willing to do that today? There's some of you in this room right now that don't know Jesus. And I told you earlier, I told you that for this reason. I didn't know Him either. And you probably don't like church folk, and I get it. But I want to tell you a story. Here's the truth of the Bible. And you're going to know it's true because there's going to be something in your heart that says this feels right. By the way, some of you in the room have come to this church a long time and you've never actually submitted to God and come to know Him and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. A lot of people love Jesus when He's handing out bread. Do you know Judas loved Jesus? Judas loved Jesus emotionally. He just wasn't willing to submit. God created everything and He made it perfect. And He said, there's one rule. And that rule is, I'm God and you're not. I will tell you what right and wrong is. And we said, no. I want to decide what right and wrong is. I want to do what I want to do. And because of that, we were separated from God. Like a branch off a tree. And we're dying. And all the brokenness and hurt. And you're going to say, well, where is God in all this stuff in my life? Exactly. The stuff that's happened to you is not because God wanted it to. That is what happens in a world that walks away from the Creator, that walks away from good and tries to do it their own way. Evil people do evil things, don't they? And we do evil things sometimes. And we're just trying to find a way to make it to the next day, aren't we? We're just trying to find a way to get to the next moment. And the problem is, you know, we go read this and take this pill and drink this bottle and talk to this person. And maybe if I buy this thing or find this woman or find this guy, something's going to make me feel alive. But I can take a dead branch, put it in the ground, right? I can water it, but at the end of the day, it's got to be grafted back to the tree. The Bible says, right, sin entered the world, brokenness, we're separated from God because of our actions, all the evil things we've done and will do. The Bible says we're all in an even place. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It says that the wages of sin is death. If you want to be dead, He'll let you die. That's what hell is. It's separation from Him. Now, here's the thing. Don't ever let anyone tell you that you're too far gone. Because you're not. You're not. You're not. The world may tell you you're not worth it. Family may have told you you're not worth it. Friends may have told you you're not worth it. I don't care. The God of the universe says you're worth it. How worth it are you? You're worth it enough that God invaded this earth. When you couldn't come to Him, He came to us. Jesus Christ existed. It was God made flesh. The one and only Son of God came down, lived a perfect life, told us how to live, told us what life was like, told us what real life was like, told us the truth that we're sinful and going to be destroyed if we don't turn to Him. Hell is real, friends. And no amount of fixing yourself can save you from there. The goodness of God shined in the darkest of moments. The Bible says, in the midst of our sin, He came to us. Jesus died on the cross, an innocent man, perfect, without sin. And on the cross, something supernatural, spiritual, you don't have to get it all, okay? So stop trying to figure it out. All of our sin, he took the punishment. He took, for if it makes it easier for you to understand, he took hell for you so that you don't have to. But in order to get that, right? In order to get that, you have to stop relying on yourself. You got to stop saying, I'm good enough on my own. I've fixed myself. I can forgive myself. I'm better than this person, so I'm okay. Jesus died on the cross. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. Over 500 people saw the risen Savior. And then he did what I just told you. He said, listen to me. I've come to save you. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and was raised from the dead, if you'll say, God, forgive me for what I've done. I believe in you. I trust you. I commit my life to you. I will change. I'm not going to be perfect, but I need you to make me perfect. If you do that, if you can submit to him today, I don't care whether you came in on your own, came in because somebody told you to, whatever it is, today can be the day that you are saved. You have new life. He will take all your sins. He will give you holiness, that Holy Spirit that I just talked about, that juice. He will pour it on your life. He will seal it inside of you. You will be made holy forevermore. All your past is gone. Your present mistakes are gone. The future mistakes are gone. He's paid it all. You can live outside of the weight of sin and shame and brokenness and hurt. And I'm not going to tell you that life is going to be easier. It won't, but it'll be better. Because we bought into the lie that easier is always better, but that's not true, isn't it? Because some of you have pretty easy lives, but it's not better. Stop letting people who hurt you stop you from coming to the only one who's ever loved you. There's going to be people up here willing to pray in this last song. If you're in the room and you don't know Jesus, I'm getting emotional because you are the reason that I did this. You are the reason, you are the reason that I'm here today. To tell you about someone incredible who saved me, and he can save you too. He can change your life. And get ready, because it's going to be so cool. You're going to see all kinds of miracles. Now the Christians in the room, you dead-hearted, you broken-hearted, you want revival? You want it? Ask him for it. Let go of the things that have hindered your life, that hinder you now. Let it go, and let's let the remnant church be the remnant church. So too at the present time, there is a remnant, right? Saved by grace, and if by grace it cannot be works, otherwise grace ceases to be grace. His grace, he offers us his grace. We're going to sing this song, and I encourage you, if you need prayer, the altar is open. Don't leave. Listen to me. Don't leave the same you came in. This is real. This is all real. Hey, kids, I know you're cool. He loves you. This is real. What are you willing to do today? What are you willing to give up? Let's worship that God. Come before him. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We can have revival. We can have it, but we got to want it. And we got to let go of the things that stop us from having it. This is all real, or none of it is. Which one is it to you today? Don't leave the same as you came in, because if you did, you're choosing to.